You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. In Idaho's tight labor market, it can be very difficult for businesses to find employees, especially on a short-term basis. Rachel Cohen, who reports on how tourism-based economies in Idaho are increasingly relying on one program to fit their needs.
Mariana Santini opens her locker in the basement of the Limelight Hotel in Ketchum. It's December and her first week of work as a food runner. She greets her coworkers,
"Alo,"
and then heads upstairs to the lobby.
I prepare silverware. I like pick up dishes from the tables.
Santini is 21 years old. She's from Argentina and she's here in Idaho on a J-1 work travel visa. It's her second time working at the Limelight during her summer break. She came to work here to have an adventure and to get better at English. Each year, about 100,000 students come to the U.S. on their summer breaks on the work travel program. Those in the Southern Hemisphere come during their summer, our winter. When it's summer here, students mostly come from Europe to take their places. The J-1 program was designed to foster cultural exchange, but a report out last summer by the International Labor Recruitment Working Group finds it has become more of a temporary guest worker program. For employers, J-1 visas help fill labor gaps, especially when there's a low unemployment rate.
The program is irreplaceable, and without it, businesses like mine would struggle.
That's John Kernow, the general manager of the Limelight, which is owned by the Aspen Skiing Company. Kernow says the company tries to hire locally, but Ketchum City Councilman Michael David understands that's a challenge for low-wage positions in a high-rent town.
You can open the classified sections of the newspaper at any time of the year, and you're going to have multiple pages of help-wanted ads in the service industry.
Ruslan Muhumadiev was finishing up a housekeeping job at the Mountain Village Resort last September in Stanley, another resort town an hour north.
For pay this program, I needed to sell my car.
Coming to the U.S. through the work travel program is expensive. There's the visa, money owed to third-party sponsors, the plane tickets, and new clothes. Altogether, Muhumadiev, who is from Russia, said it cost him around $5,000.
Yeah, everybody found a second job.
Councilman David, back in Ketchum, says the visa recipients help lessen a whole community's hiring burden when they pick up second and third jobs at grocery stores, restaurants, or landscaping companies.
It's essential, I think. It keeps this tourist-based economy going.
And that's what Muhumadiev did. After arriving, he took a second job at the resort's restaurant and a third one at the ice cream shop in Stanley. The ice cream shop was his favorite, he says, because of the interactions he had with Americans.
Everybody talking with you, everybody asking about where from, what are you doing here?
It's the type of experience the International Labor Recruitment Working Group says many work travel students miss out on when they work behind the scenes in housekeeping or at places like Six Flags and McDonald's, two of the biggest employers of work travel students. Another issue the group's report found is the J-1 visa program is managed by the U.S. State Department. Catherine Bowman, who contributed research, says that federal agency isn't set up to oversee a jobs program for potential exploitation or discrimination.
Most other programs of this nature where low-wage work is happening would be overseen by the Department of Labor, which has an entire apparatus set up to inspect workplaces and to take action if there's a problem with what's going on.
A few years ago, the State Department proposed reforms to the work travel program, which include additional requirements for companies that place students in jobs and more formalized cultural exchange activities. The department sent the proposed changes to the White House last summer, where they're still under review. And it's not the only scrutiny the J-1 program has faced. In 2017, President Donald Trump signed a Buy American, Hire American executive order, which included plans to trim the number of temporary work visas available. These proposed federal actions have people like Ketchum Councilman David thinking about the future on a local level.
I would be really worried about the sustainability of our economy without the J-1s as that essential piece of it.
In the meantime, though, businesses still benefit from using the visa program, and the students also want to keep coming. Take Mariana Santini, who returned for a second year. She convinced a friend to come along this time. By the end of Muhumadiev's visa, he said he liked the experience, but he was looking forward to going home.
Of course, everybody's tired because every day, all day, working.
But as tourist activity started to slow down, he and his friends finally had some more time. They had been looking forward to whitewater rafting on the Salmon River all summer.
And today we wanted to reserve it, go to rafting, but the company said Monday is last day for rafting, and we can't.
The rafting company had just closed for the season. Muhumadev went home in September. He wants to return and maybe finally make it down the river. Rachel Cohen, Boise State Public Radio News.
And we're joined now live over Skype by Boise State Public Radio's Rachel Cohen to learn more about her recent reporting. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Gemma.
So I wanted to ask you, when you first met the students you interviewed for this story, what did they say about this short-term work and these J-1 visas?
So when I first met these students, they were really excited to talk about their experiences. Mariana had just returned for her second winter, and she said what made her really want to come back were the friendships she made from people all over the world. And she was getting excited to see some of those same people again and also make new connections. And then Ruslan, I met him toward the end of his time in Stanley when he was kind of reflecting. And he also met friends from all over Europe, and they were getting ready to go on the travel portion of their program to places like San Francisco and Las Vegas and the Grand Canyon. So they both had positive things to say.
You know, that's interesting, though, because a lot of people might think like, oh, what a great way to kind of get a vacation out of this, right? You can go to a different country and then work for a while and then, you know, experience, as you said, these highlights of the United States. But I'm assuming they face challenges, though, with all of this as well.
Yes. So they do have fun. They do try to explore the areas they're in as much as possible, but they definitely work hard and they work a lot. Ruslan and Stanley, for example, he worked 7 days a week for most of the day. Some days were 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. at three different jobs that paid $8 an hour. And it's pretty typical for these students to work multiple jobs, just like it is for people who work in the service industry in general. And their motivations for doing that differed. I mean, for some, it was to make up for the cost of the program, which can be a couple thousand dollars. For others, they want to save up to travel. And then I also talked to some people who figured that if they worked as much as they could here, they could make a fair amount of money, and they were just interested in doing that. So it depended from student to student, but they did all work long hours.
Well, and then you also spoke with employers, and some of the employees you talked to in this story, they say that these students are essential. I mean, these are the students you see running the chairlifts, things like that. But why is this industry, and I'm talking like tourism in particular, and we can take Sun Valley as the example, why are they so reliant on these students?
Yeah, that's definitely what I heard from employers. You know, they said pretty clearly that this program is pretty vital to their businesses. I mean, Sun Valley, Ketchum, that's an area where employers say the number one challenge they have to finding employees is affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And because the low-wage workers can often not live close by.
So on a national level, Rachel, what are people saying about this particular program?
Yeah, so there was some talk a couple years ago of there being cuts to the number of visas available. The numbers available through the State Department, though, show that the amount of summer work travel students coming to the U.S. has stayed pretty stable or has even increased a bit, including in Idaho, the number has increased. So far, we're not seeing those cuts, but there are some movements like the labor advocacy group I mentioned. They're trying to get some more protections for students, and they submitted comments to the State Department on that. And so they're kind of staying tuned to see what those changes might look like in the future.
Well, we've been talking with our Rachel Cohen, who is based in Twin Falls. Rachel, thank you so much for talking to us about this.
Thank you.